Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
Finally, the Cleveland Cavaliers get a much needed break in the action. Get a couple reinforcements coming back for a stretch run here before the Christmas break. We get into that and everything surrounding your Cleveland Cavaliers on this episode, the Cleveland Cavaliers on SI Podcast. And welcome in, everybody, to the Courtside with the Cavs on SI Podcast. A new face with you. We sub one Spencer out, the not so hardworking Spencer. He leaves. I jump in for Spencer German. Anthony Maglin alongside my partner, Spin Davies. And Spin, in the business, they say you have one job, and I messed mine up. It is the Courtside with the Cleveland Cavaliers on SI Podcast. Spin, how we doing, brother?
I'm doing great, man. Just sending all of my hopes and my thoughts over with Spencer right now as he deals with his car issues before the holidays. I know that guy is working his tail off, and he was coming back from Pittsburgh covering a Browns game. He's got a podcast about the Buckeyes. He's got a lot of stuff going on. So let's not be too harsh on this guy.
I only kid because if you follow this podcast, if you've probably seen my face along with Spencer's on some other stuff around Cleveland sports, and we were getting ready. Spin, we'll go a quick anecdote from Sunday. We're getting ready for Browns Steelers. Browns are starting to kind of piece it together. Spin has a great day of content planned, and I get a call at about 10 a.m. and he's like, dude, my car didn't start. We're scrambling. I'm like, oh no. So everybody, send your T's and P's to our guy, Spencer German, as he figures out a new car situation, and he'll be back certainly with you guys here in the coming days. But who won't be back with us for a few days? A team that's finally, dude, gets a rest. There's our Cleveland Cavaliers. They had another three-game and four-night stretch that ended in Miami, in South Beach, with a game that they came up short but looked a little flat, looked a little tired, and looked like a team that needed some time off.
Most definitely. And I mean, you come out of that one pretty much unscathed. You did have the Evan Mobley injury with the ankle. Appears not to be so serious. You know, Kenny said that he didn't talk to trainers after the game, but he was not spotted with a boot on his ankle, according to Chris Fedor at Cleveland.com. So doesn't seem like it's something to be worried about. On the other hand, Cavs do have some reinforcements coming in, like you had at the tease at the beginning. Max Strus on his way back. I'll have a little bit more on that as the podcast goes along. Looks like Amani Bates will be getting into some action here soon with the Charge. So, you know, just a couple notes on that front. But overall, I mean, the Cavs only have three games over the next 11 days, counting today. But that is a big difference from how they started the season, and knowing that there aren't any 3-4s until we get to that pre-Christmas, pre-holidays, and heading over to New Year's when they start that West Coast trip. But huge time to get a rest here, a time to kind of recalibrate, recuperate, and it's It's well deserved at this point, too.
It's certainly well deserved. And we appreciate everybody jumping in and hanging out with us tonight. If you have any thoughts along the way, jump them into the comment section. We love to bring you guys in on this. But let's take a quick look back in the rear view here, because the Cleveland Cavaliers, one of the things you get out to that incredible start, and one of the things that can tend to certainly derail seasons are injuries. And they haven't really faced that injury bug, and it sounds like Evan's gonna be okay with that bum ankle he suffered. But you go back to the end of November, right? Over Thanksgiving weekend, the Cavs fall back to back to the Hawks, right? You lose by 11 and then you lose by 16, and you're like, uh-oh, here we go, back a little bit to normal. And then you have a stretch where you go Celtics, Wizards, Nuggets, Hornets, Heat. You probably have three playoff teams in that group, and then that Hornets team is tough. They may be a fringe playoff team, but if not, they're fun as heck, and they get up and down the floor quickly, and they're a tough team to play against. And in that stretch, you go 4-1, and that lone loss is a 9-pointer to Miami on a Sunday night, a weird feel to it. You got to be feeling pretty good about a stretch like that, because you're not going to win them all. But if you can take 4 out of 5 against that type of competition and that another tough stretch of the schedule, now that's got to make you feel pretty good.
I agree, and I think the biggest test out of that one, obviously, was Denver, them coming into the building. I know they had been kind of a little bit on the lesser side on defense. They've been struggling really all year on that end of the floor. But the Cavs did a good job of executing a plan and, you know, getting Nikola Jokic to be the primary scorer and getting him to take 26 shots. He still had it as assist total, and obviously he had the 20-plus rebounds that night. Yeah. But, you know, that I think was really something to watch, because it was different than anything they've done defensively before that. They had to kind of change things a little bit. Kenny Atkinson mentioned that before the game. He was curious how they were going to respond to doing something a little different than they've been used to. And they executed that game plan to a T. Me and Spence talked about the Celtics game last Sunday on our last podcast episode. And I don't care who was missing in that one. That was a very solid response from, you know, a guy like Darius Garland and even Donovan Mitchell, who Darius was coming off of a very solid night in Atlanta, but just bouncing back from what he did in Boston when he was 3 of 21. Yeah. Donovan coming off of a 5 of 23 performance against Atlanta the game before that. Both of them, and they set the tone in that game. You don't really take anything from the Wizards game. It's hard to when you see Washington playing basketball right now. It's just very tough to watch.
Hey, be nice.
I was a little bit, you know, kind of bummed that we didn't see Charlotte at full strength, because I've really enjoyed watching LaMelo Ball play. Brandon Miller still did his thing on Saturday, but, the Cavs and them had a little bit more of a tussle in the second half, because Charlotte would not quit. And they had a lot of hungry guys, a guy like Isaiah Wong playing his tail off, trying to make a name for himself in his debut. You had a bunch of these guys, Cody Martin, that were trying to show their coach that they, no matter what the circumstances were playing their butts off to do it for the good of the team. But the Cavs come away with that one, know how to close that one out. That's Evan Mobley's amazing game. Just kind of set the tone in the first quarter when he goes off for 23 points and, winds up with 41 and 10 rebounds, hits 6 threes in that game, and just really over a 2-game stretch from that Thursday and that Saturday went 9 of 13 from beyond the arc. I'm sure that's a subject we can get into, because that's going to completely take this thing from A to B when it comes to this offense and how it operates. I said a little bit of something about that with Tommy on Saturday, but that was, I think, the summation of the week. And then, like you said, the trip to South Beach, it was weird, because you don't see many games where you're on a Saturday 1 p.m. game and then a Sunday 6 p.m. game. I don't think it was the South Beach flu, as a lot of people like to look at it that way. I think it was more or less those guys had some tired legs. They had to adjust on the fly when Evan got hurt. And then, credit to Dean Wade. Dean Wade did an amazing job that night of playing the stretch five, but also getting the rebounds, playing the defense, and knocking down some threes on the outside. I thought he did a really good job. And the team itself, I thought was getting good looks, but they just could not stop fouling defensively, and that was sending the Heat to the line. And frankly, Tyler Hero was just playing amazing that night. And sometimes you got to give credit where credit's due. But like you said, 4-1 after the two-game losing streak, and if you even call it a losing streak. But that's a good response.
Yeah, and some positives I think you can take away from that Heat game. We'll stick on the Heat game now for a little bit, just because, you know, like for all the reasons, right? It looked slow, it looked kind of sluggish, but you still score 113. You take a little step back defensively. But Spin, I want to focus our attention a little bit on the bench bunch, because they've been up, I'd say, for most of the year, but they've come down a little bit. They've had a couple, not a couple tough games, but they've kind of fluctuated a little bit and kind of come back to the median there. But Sunday night, Ty Jerome, 14 points. Sam Merrill, 10 points, 2 of 5 from 3. Caris LeVert, 2 of 2 from 3, 13 points. And then George Niang, 3 of 4 from 3, 15 points. You can get that type of production, you know, out of that bench group. Man, that's pretty good, especially in a night where you need it, right? You had some extended minutes from Niang and LeVert with Mobley going down. But still, I think Caris LeVert's been playing really good basketball. I think George Niang, I don't think that you can expect it for 82 games throughout the year. But I think with George Niang, the production that you're getting from him at this point in the season, it's pretty good, man. He's shooting the three really well, and he's that energy guy. He's annoying as heck. He's one guy you would hate to play against, but you love having him on your team. And I think he's been playing some pretty good basketball.
Exemplary. They needed that bench on Sunday because the starters just did not have it. I mean, you look at Darius played pretty well, and he was getting to the free throw line, and he did a good job defensively again on switches, taking on Jimmy Butler, I thought. And you know, he was able to get the shots to go down, and he was a big part of that. But I mean, just the starters as a whole just weren't there. Kenny said that the legs weren't there. Not enough rebounding, not enough disciplinary on defense. Like I said, with the fouls and getting beat by your man pretty much. But you said it, the bench is what really got them going. And to be honest, this whole season, it's kind of been like that. You know, Ty Jerome's been pretty much the most consistent, I would say, as far as production goes. I thought that he looked like himself for the first time in a few games after coming off of that, you know, that sickness that he had. He was really getting downhill. I think he went 6 of 6 from the line. I think at one point he was the only one to score for the Cavs in the second quarter of that game in Miami. And then, you know, George Niang, we've been talking about it all year. It's just, if the shot's not falling, a lot of people like to pile onto him, but when it is falling, I mean, he's almost like the best thing since sliced bread coming off the bench. Defensively, he's been great. He's been knowing his spots and attacking off of closeouts and using that push shot off the glass. He's been terrific. Caris LeVert is looking like LeVert now. You know, he's been dealing with that nagging knee injury, the same thing that might have been bothering him last year. But, you know, it feels like he's finding ways to cope with it. And it looks like he has that explosiveness and that ability to play off beat and to get to the rim. And also just as a catch shooter and being an efficient player, that's the biggest part with him. And then just one more thought too, Sam Merrill, we've talked up and down on this podcast about how he's more impactful than just a 3-point shooter, how he's been used in screens to drag in team's weakest defender and really just get matchups and that sort. But the way he's been attacking the rim and coming off of screens and being able to play make for his teammates has really opened up some things for the Cavs. And defensively, he's taking on all challengers, even if guys are making shots on him or even if he's, you know, getting burned sometimes. He is giving his all on that end of the floor, and it's really spoken to Kenny because he plays him a lot. I did think in Miami that they got Sam on a couple of back cuts, just some simple V cuts, but, you know, he's typically aware on that end of the floor, and on ball, he will get into your grill. So that bench has been big for them this year, and I don't expect it to not be going forward.
Yeah, it's huge, and especially as you get into the halfway point of the season, which it sucks to say we're like kind of sneaking up on a little bit, but you start working your way and inching your way through the season, the bench is just going to become more and more important, especially as guys' roles really as they grow in their roles and continue to improve and get a little bit better. Speaking of a guy who's been growing in his role and kind of coming into form, Darius Garland. This is a guy now who has been a good start to the year, really, really good. And then he had that setback. You go back to their first loss against the Boston Celtics, 3 of 21 from the field, 8 points. He was only a -9 actually in the plus minus, but still one of his worst games of the season for sure. But again, it was happening against the Boston Celtics. And that was the one fear for Cavs fans, like, oh, this is all fun and games, but when the champs come into town or you go visit the champs, what do you look like? And that didn't look very good. But to his credit, just a few nights later, comes back and answers in Cleveland's huge win against Boston, and goes for 22 points, was 4-6 from three, and Spen looked confident. And that's started to, and that continued with him throughout this most recent stretch. And it almost felt like to me, Spen, that he kind of got that monkey off his back where he figured it out. He can play with Donovan and he's playing really good. He's playing fluid. And then he has that setback. Ah, it's Boston again. I didn't play good against Boston. And then he answers that. He gets that answer off his back, that monkey off his back, and puts a nice game together, and has really just continued that upward trajectory since that second Boston game where he played really well.
Most definitely. And I think with Darius, Kenny said that his favorite thing about that game in Boston after the game was over, that he still continued to shoot and he still continued to take those shots. He had 21 attempts. Like you said, he went 3 of 21. You look at that on a box score, you're like, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. But it's not like he was chucking. These were good looks. They were well generated. And it's the ones that he's been used to making. So what do? You move on, right? You play a decent game the next one against Atlanta, even though that one was a stinker. They gave up 130 plus. But in that response to the next game, in that in-season tournament game in Atlanta, Darius was like one of the only ones that was playing well and was continuing to be aggressive. And he's got teams just kind of at his mercy right now when he turns the corner, not knowing whether he's going to shoot a floater, shoot a pull-up, or if he's going to find a teammate. He's been really good at spraying out to the perimeter, specifically looking at corners. And I think the one thing that we really haven't addressed on this pod is the way that he's been taking care of the basketball.
Yeah.
And someone asked Kenny about that last week. And he told us that the staff is really having him try to use that Nash dribble, the probe dribble, where he can look around for a little while. You're still looking for shot quality. You're still looking for quickness. But make sure it's the best read of the play, not the only read, or not the second best one that you find. Like, I thought that was a really interesting comment. You can look at that, by the way, in our YouTube channel. It was his pregame press conference, I believe, one game ago or two games ago.
Look at this guy.
You got to plug it.
Just a big P is what they call in the business, a producer. Look at this guy. That's impressive.
Cleveland Cavaliers on SI YouTube channel. Make sure to go check it out. But for real, though, I thought was interesting because he's almost like the quarterback of the Cavs. He's the one that's kind of running the show. Even though Evan's got the ball and he's still playing off ball with Evan and all that stuff, like, there are still possessions, and the most possessions, honestly, when Darius is doing that and the small pick and rolls. Donovan's playmaking, too, is really good, and he's been kind of the Evan whisperer. So, like, they've got multiple ways to attack you, and I think that's why they've been so dangerous offensively. I completely agree with you on DG. Like, the fact that he's able to bounce back, you know that he's in a good headspace. He's not at all feeling like he's got a press. And you have a lot of threats on the floor at once, and that makes him a tough cover.
No doubt about it. And we talk about it from a statistical standpoint. Only scores 8 points in that Celtics game, then sits out the Pelicans game, gets some rest. And then he's gone 16, 19, 29, 22, 12. That 12 was against the Wizards in just 17 minutes. 24, 18, 23. I mean, he's playing good basketball. And obviously, points aren't the end-all, be-all. But on the season, averaging 20.5 points a game, averaging 6.5 assists a game. And that's really, really good. Shooting a scorching 48% from the field and spin. You get one of the things that I love so much when he turns that corner, man, you talk about that Nash dribble, and he keeps his dribble alive so deep. He gets so deep in the paint, and he obviously has that great chemistry with Evan and Jared to throw that lob. But, man, that floater, every time he throws one of those floaters up, you just have this feeling it's going in, nothing but net every single time. And that's, I think, an element to his game where he's really succeeded and really continued to get much better at.
Well, that honestly, that in-between area is kind of where he struggled last year. Mm-hmm. You know, that has to do with a lot of stuff. Like, he didn't have a rhythm. He didn't have a flow. Mm-hmm. But this season, it feels like he's just kind of added that CP3 element to him.
Yeah.
Where he's kind of able to pin guys on the backside, and he's not quite getting the foul calls like a CP3 would. He's still trying to earn that respect, and even Donovan Mitchell's trying to earn that respect. If you really want to talk about the foul call situation and how they're not, even though they're first or second in drives per game right now, and they're still not getting to the line quite as much. But DG's just done a good job of that, and he just has a good feel. He's not playing in small spaces like we've seen in the past. And he's not getting too deep into the paint to where he's going to be getting blocked like constantly, right? That did happen in Miami, like, no doubt. Like, against the Heat, he did get contested a bit inside. Even though he played a good game, he got contested inside. Ty Jerome got contested inside. I think Caris LeVert got blocked too. Like, that'll happen sometimes. But Darius has really made some solid decisions. He's understanding where his spots are. He's understanding where his shots are coming from. And he's still playing the maestro. So there's not much else you can ask for from him.
It's been really impressive. It's an impressive stretch by the young point guard, and something that you love to see from his growth. And one way it's going to continue to grow for Darius Garland in this Cavs offense is the addition of Max Strus. You're going to get Max Strus back sooner rather than later, Spin. And this is a guy who became kind of like a little bit of the heart and soul of this team. Maybe not so much the heart and soul. Maybe I'm getting a little carried away with myself, but did become like an emotional factor for this Cavs team. He plays the game really, really hard, and he can shoot the crap out of the ball. And he's a piece that, you know, right now you only feel like you have that one sharpshooter when you can kick it out to Sam Merrill and you have a really good feeling that it's going in. But adding that element of Strus to back into this mix is going to be great on the defensive side of the ball. But it's going to be so good for the offensive side of the ball, because then when Darius is coming around that pick and roll, he's going to have Donovan in one spot, he's going to have Max in another shooter spot, and then he's going to have two lobs available to him at the rim along with that floater. This offense is going to take another step up and another level up when they get Strus back here.
And we got to talk about Max's playmaking as well, man. The secondary creation that you can have off the catch or even in inverted pick and rolls. With Evan, since Kenny's been so imaginative with Evan being the ball handler and the guards and forwards being the screeners, I'm seeing a lot of that happening probably with Max. And even the dribble handoffs that you see with Evan and Sam, you can probably just put Max right into that mix too. Yeah. And he does pretty much the similar things. He doesn't have quite as quick of a release as Sam does, but he is a movement shooter. And he is able to attack. He's a bigger body for sure. So you'll probably see a little bit more of some force off of those pin downs and whatnot. But Max is going to be a huge element to this team. And defensively, I think, is another thing. He's allowed to be aggressive. He's allowed to get up into guys. And that's something he showed us last year with guys like Evan and Jarrett behind him, that he's not going to let ball handlers have space to shoot or to dribble or to find guys. So I think Max, that's a big return. I do have something to add. I know initially reported by RG Media's Grant Asseth that Max is going to be back Friday. I have something to add to that. I was told that the target was always the Wizards game or the Brooklyn game. So if not Washington, it will be probably by Monday. The organization does want to see him get through some live practices, though, first, before they make that, like, official determination. Kenny's been consistently saying, like, you know, he's a ways away. I don't have a date for you, but it seems like either Friday or Monday is probably what you're looking at, and it depends on how he reacts and how his body responds to live practices this coming week. And good news for the Cavs. I mean, that's somebody that, again, like we just mentioned, is a key cog who hasn't played all year and will definitely give them a boost and another rotational piece for Kenny Atkinson to play around with.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
This time of year, a good hoodie is absolutely essential, but it's tough to find one that will last through the season. That's why the American Giant Classic Full Zip Hoodie is made to last a lifetime, so you can count on it to bring you comfort and warmth year after year. Slate Magazine called it the greatest hoodie ever made, and from cotton to zipper, it's made right here in the USA. With timeless style, heavyweight fleece, a double-lined hood, and reinforced elbow patches, you can depend on it for years to come. Snag the hoodie that will bring you comfort for life, the American Giant Classic Full Zip, and save 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com when you use code CLASSIC24 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com. Code CLASSIC24.
The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Yeah, it's amazing that we're talking about this offense in Cleveland taking another step up. Appreciate everybody jumping in and joining with us tonight. Like I said earlier, jump into that comment section. And if you're just jumping in, I'm filling in for Spencer German here. He'll be back soon, but dealing with some car troubles here. But Spin, you're looking at the standings here throughout the Eastern Conference. And the Cavs are sitting really pretty at 21-4. And it's funny too, man. You forget how a 17-game win streak can, or 16, 15, whatever it was, can really, you know, propel you, obviously, because it feels like the Cavs are kind of in this up and down phase, but they're really not. 21-4, you're a game and a half up on Boston. Obviously, you're coming off a win in the most recent game against them. But there's some teams starting to lurk, right? The Eastern Conference for the first couple weeks was primarily Cavs, Boston, and then third might as well have been 10th because everyone was kind of down there. But there's a team down in Orlando, the Magic, 17-9, followed by the Knicks, who are 15-9 as well, who are starting to really find their stride. The Knicks, especially with Karl Anthony Towns, really just kind of finding his rhythm. But for Cleveland, man, you got to feel obviously really, really good about where you stand, and just kind of want to get your opinion on kind of where the Eastern Conference is as a whole, because there's some really good teams that are just all in this mix in the middle that are all chasing the Cavs.
Well, I don't mean to correct you since we're live, but with this Magic run, this has been all without Paolo. This has been all without Paolo. And unfortunately, going forward, they're not going to be having Franz Wagner either. Both of them have torn obliques. It's just terrible snake-bitten team right now. And I feel awful. But they do continue to battle. And it's a testament to what Jamal Mosley has instilled into that culture there. You know, Jalen Suggs, those guys are going to be asked to step up. Anthony Black, Cole Anthony is going to have an opportunity to do some things. You know, Jonathan Isaac, rookie Tristan Da Silva, they are all going to have opportunities now. Just unfortunate that Franz Wagner, who was playing at near MVP caliber levels, by the way, when Paolo went down, it just suffered an oblique injury the other day. So fared terrible for him. Hopefully Paolo gets back soon so that he can help this team. But yeah, I mean, we probably won't see them staying at the three until one of those guys gets back. You mentioned the Knicks. Karl Anthony Towns is playing a really good brand of basketball right now. Like, got to give the devil his due sometimes. I did not like that move for either party, but he is really showing a lot of aggressiveness and a fierceness to him that I feel like I didn't expect to see in New York this quickly. Shooting the heck out of the ball, his playmaking, some of these passes he's making to guys are insane from the face-up position. You got to watch those. They're looking good. I mean, Miami, as we know, is always a threat. I know that Jimmy Butler is getting older, but Tyler Hero is playing out of his mind right now. Bam Adebayo is starting to figure some stuff out after a slow start to the season. Milwaukee, I mean, Giannis is wrecking shop right now. Him and Nikola Jokic are really just taking over the league at the moment. So they're never anyone to look down upon. And then you look at Atlanta. I'm a big fan of Atlanta. They obviously took down the Cavs twice.
And the Celtics, too. And the Celtics.
Yeah. And, I mean, Jalen Johnson, I'll tell you over and over again, I think he's going to be the best player on that team by the end of the year. And that's no slight to Trey, because Trey has gotten 20-assist games in two weeks.
And we were one of them.
but they are definitely a force to be reckoned with if they can defend. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you look at the other teams. I mean, Philadelphia, they're still – you know, waffling, but I mean, at least Paul George has been playing in some games. I mean, Joel Embiid, we still haven't seen any, you know, consistent minutes or games for him yet. So I'm not, you know, that's an incomplete grade for me there. But those are probably the ones you have to worry about right now. I mean, you can look at Indiana, but Indiana's been scuffling like crazy too. They're not themselves, and I don't think Tyrese Halliburton's been himself. And that's been, you know, really tough to watch considering how much fun they had last year. So that's pretty much what I look at in the East when it comes to the Cavs' competition.
Yeah, and you do know that even in Indianapolis, right, you do know what they can be. If they do figure it out, they have the ability to turn it on. But that's obviously very, very far away when you talk about a potential playoff picture, but it's still always fun to track it, especially when you hit the app and that C is alone alone at the top. All right, Spin, you queued me up for one. You said, saw something about Don not being very good this year. I need to rant about sports psychology of a fan. So with that in mind, the floor is yours, my friend.
The floor is mine. Okay. I just don't get this mindset of a sports fan, in particular with basketball, but I mean, it could go with anything. If somebody is doing well, say like Darius Garland's playing well, Jared Allen's playing well, Evan Mobley's playing well, and someone else is not playing as well as those players, that it means they're playing bad. Makes no sense to me.
No.
There's only one ball to go around. If you look at Donovan's season and you look at his numbers, if you want to just take counting stats, there is no reason to think that he's having a bad season. No. He's not having a bad season. If you want to look at shooting numbers, I'll level with you there. Maybe the in-between stuff is not looking that great at the moment. But it doesn't mean he's not helping win in other ways. Like I said, as a playmaker, stealing the ball, deflecting the ball, getting rebounds, setting screens, getting to his corners for threes. The only area that Donovan's really not excelling at right now is one of his best areas career-wise and historically, and that's in the mid-range. And he's not finishing quite as well as he has in the past. Oh, well, it's the first month and a half of the season. But no, my rant is that just because teammates are playing well, like there's always going to be someone to pick on. Is that how we view things?
It's not
how it goes. It's not how sports goes. It's not how basketball goes. If someone else is succeeding, so that I think it goes back to Jared Allen too. So, you know, people are asking about Jared Allen a lot, and that's understandable because if you look at his numbers, his field goal attempts are down. His minutes are down. He's not having quite as much of a scoring impact on the Cavs. His role has just changed because last year, Cleveland needed him as a scorer. They needed him to punish in pick and roll situations and to kill those matchups and to be the dominant force that we know Jared Allen can be. This year, they don't need it because they're hitting all their shots and they have guys that are more than capable of putting points on the board. Now you can look at some of the less aggressiveness in certain situations, in certain games, and be like, okay, yeah, maybe that's not right. But most of the time, Kenny's talking about fatigue. Because if you look at the Cavs' style, their pace is up. So that means he's running up and down the floor, rim running, and setting screens and defending other players. He's switching more this year, so he's defending out in the perimeter, not just being a rim protector. But like, it just goes back to that. Like, it doesn't mean these guys are playing bad. I don't know how you can take that out of some team and try to pick out who's not playing well from a 21-4 season or 21-4 start. Just makes no sense to me.
No, so let's unpack that just a little bit, because I have a thought here. But statistically across the board, Donnie's playing 32 minutes a game, 31.9, averaging 23.7 points, five rebounds, 4.5 assists, 1.5 steals a game. He's shooting 45% from the field and 41% from three. But Spin, here's what I would argue too, and it argues to your point. I would say that like this iteration of Donovan Mitchell is actually showing some significant growth, I think, where we've seen him in Cleveland. He's now, this is year three in Cleveland, right? He's had to carry the Cavs. Every night he's had to be the superstar. Well, this year he's allowing Darius Garland to be the star of the night. He's allowing Evan Mobley to go for 41 points. Or if someone gets hot off the bench, he's feeding those guys and saying, hey, you take it. I'm here if you need me, kind of. It's almost like, I'm not going to say that actually, but he's letting these guys go. But then when you do need him, he goes for 35 against the Celtics and pulls you back into the game. He goes for 28 against Nikola Jokic and the Denver Nuggets in a game you needed. He goes for 30 when you're trying to take down the Hawks on the second time playing them in 3 days. So it's like, hey, when we need you, Donnie, we need you to be the star. He still can flip that switch and really flip it. But hey, let's build Darius up to say, hey, you can be a star. You can take games over Evan. You have the ability to go for 30, 35, 40 a night. Like if you want it, go show it. And I can take a step back in that step back statistically. But I think it pushes the team forward.
And he constantly talks about the development of these guys and how Evan's the key and DG is the key. Like you need those guys to come along with you. And the best way to do that is to find that balance. And that's not an easy balance to find, not when you're used to having the ball all the time in your hands and operating. And you can see that Don still has his habits where he'll take a bad shot here and there. It happens. That's human nature. That's also how he's used to been playing pretty much all of his life. He's still learning. He's still developing. And those spots can be picked better sometimes. But you can definitely tell that there's a willingness to get those other guys involved and to have them get the shine. And it's also going to keep him from being dead tired at the end of the year.
Yeah.
The way that they're kind of orchestrating this. Mm-hmm. And again, it kind of goes back to quicker shots. He's more locked in on the defensive end than I think we've ever seen. I think that he's just been so reliable to lead when necessary. And by lead, I mean, he knows when to take the mantle. He knows when his guys don't have it going. When they do have it going, why is it necessary for me to go out and get my own? You know, like it's a human nature thing. I still cannot grasp how we have to nitpick at that stuff. Cause that makes no sense to me. And we know what Donovan Mitchell is. Yeah. There's no reason to act like we have some sort of amnesia, like because someone goes through a stretch where they're not shooting their mid-rangers that well, or if he isn't, you know, getting, you know, finishing inside as well as he has been. Don't forget, too, again, going back to the calls, that he'd probably be averaging a point or two more if he would get to the line with some fair officiating. So that was all I had to say on that part. It bothers me. It bothers me because, yeah. I mean, because there's always someone trying to rip a team apart at the seams, and there's no reason to right now. There's a great chemistry in the locker room. There's a great love, and you can see it all in the videos that I put up on Twitter and all that. They legitimately adore each other and always are rooting for one another, and there's no kind of dissension whatsoever, and that's a rarity to have in a locker room especially one that's been together for a couple years.
Yeah, and I would also add, too, I think you make a really good point. I won't beat a dead horse, but, you know, you get to the end of the season and Donnie's out of gas. Think back to that Magic game 6. He goes for 50 and the Cavs don't have enough to get a win, right? Like that, he's trying to work that out of his teammates so he isn't responsible, you know, for that, especially as you get into the playoffs. And hopefully you get into a Eastern Conference quarters and Eastern Conference semis and potentially into the finals, because guess what? He ain't pulling this team all the way there. He's going to need the entire group to get Cleveland to where they want to go. All right, Spin, here we go. We got a great stretch for these Cleveland Cavaliers. We talk about finally getting a rest. They're off until Friday. And then from this Friday to the following Friday, they only play 3 times. So what's that? Let's do some quick math. 3 games in 11 days?
11 days.
Look at that. Yep. You're the math guy on this pod. It's a really good stretch. And then you only
For this pod. If I'm the math guy, that's not good.
You are the math guy here. I'm no math major, but so you get 3 games in 11 days, and then before Christmas, you got 15 days here before Christmas, and the Cavs have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 games in the next 15 days. So a really, really nice stretch here before Christmas. What are your expectations, Spin, as the Cavs hit a spot here where they can rack up some wins?
Opportunity for some practice time, 1. And 2, I think, especially, you can't take Brooklyn lightly. I'm sorry, you can probably take Washington lightly. You probably can go 11, 12 deep against that Wizards team right now. So maybe that's an opportunity for, you know, Jalen Tyson to continue showing us, you know, what's going on in his development, maybe a little bit more. I mean, it's not like they're going to rest guys or maybe they're, you know what I'm saying? Like, you can go as deep as you want there. I'm not anticipating a spectacle of a game on Friday night. I actually won't be there, so that'll be one of the first home games that I miss this year. Sorry about that, but the next game though, Brooklyn, that one is Jordy Fernandez has them guys playing, and it's on the road. They're a tough out right now. Definitely can show you a lot on the road, just taking on a team that really doesn't back down from anyone and has a guy in Cam Johnson who's shooting the heck out of the ball. You know, Ben Simmons has looked okay, you know, and he's been playing in consecutive games, so that's a good sign for him. But there's a lot of guys that are, you know, on the block or whatever for Brooklyn that are trying to play their tails off, not just like to get out of Brooklyn, of course, but like that trade rumor stuff usually can fuel. And, you know, Dennis Schroeder's been playing really well this year. I really have a fascination with Dorian Finney-Smith. I think he would make a terrific fit here in Cleveland, to be honest. You know, those are the types of matchups and battles that really show you a lot, because they're on their home floor. They've been pretty solid. And then you look at next Friday, you play the Bucks team, who's completely different than the last time we saw them. But they've given you, you know, 2 battles so far, so should be solid.
Yeah, those two, and then let's sit on that Nets game for just a quick second. You go back to it's November 9th when you played them for the first time, and they have held the Cavs to their lowest point total this year. They won 105-100, and it was not their closest game at the start of their streak, but it's the least amount of points that they've scored against anybody this season, which is amazing to say. But regardless, that's a game that could certainly give them some fits. And then they finish up that Christmas break. You get the 76ers. That'll be a home game for the Cavs in that one. So that one, let's keep Philly where they're at right now. You don't want those cats getting into the playoffs and making a run if you can. And then you finish up with the Jazz. You get the Jazz at home, and they're not playing really good. They're 5-18 on the year. So really, you're looking at this stretch outside of that Brooklyn Bucks back-to-back. That Brooklyn and Bucks 2 game stretch there. Those are 3 games you should win, and then 2 that you're going to be favored in, and you want to take care of business in.
Yeah, for sure. And that, I think, you have to set the tone to as you go and embark on a West Coast road trip to end the, you know, December schedule. because those West Coast road trips are not easy. I could easily see the Cavs getting two or three losses on a West Coast road trip. It's just, it's how it goes when you take these long, you know, trips and you face one, solid teams, and then two, it's just, it's hard because of the time differences, because of, you know, your body changing schedules and all that stuff. Like, it's not easy. You start with the Nuggets first, and then Warriors, Lakers back to back. So before the new year, you play the Warriors and the Lakers. I know that Los Angeles hasn't been the highest rated team at the moment, but it's still LeBron James. It's still Anthony Davis. You know,
still Bronny.
You start out Denver, Golden State, LA, and then you come back and you play the Mavericks to close the trip. Like, that's not an easy trip, not an easy way to start the new year and close the holidays. So that should be fun though, because it's again, it's a measuring stick, and hopefully the team is healthy. And by that time you see a guy like Max Strus starting to get his rhythm back a little bit. It's going to take a couple of weeks, guys. It's not going to happen overnight. He'll be on, you know, minute restrictions and have his moments and whatever it may be, where it might not look perfect right away, but you know, that's part of incorporating a guy back into things. But yeah, no, that's it's less games this month, but to end the month and to start January, not easy.
It's why these next five games are all the more important, because that stretch is going to be tough. String together a couple nice wins here and before Christmas and really put yourself in a really nice position. All right, well, got to give a shout out. Our guy Oren's with us every time.
Always.
Oren, thanks for hopping in with us always. Appreciate it. Yes, finally, the boys get a break, but we always love you jumping in. Your comments are always the best. We always crack up over them. So thanks for Oren jumping in. Thanks for everybody jumping in. This was an awesome show. Appreciate you you guys all choosing to hang out with us. If you got us up on your iPad or your phone while you got the games on tonight, we certainly do appreciate it. So if you like what we're doing, hit that subscribe button. Really appreciate all of the support that you guys give us, and tell a friend. Spin is we always say it. Spin's the hardest working guy in Cleveland media, and that every subscribe really helps us out. We're getting close to another milestone here on the Cleveland Cavaliers on SI YouTube channel. So hit that subscribe button. And obviously too, if you're listening to us on Spotify, Apple Music, wherever you get your podcasts, please rate and review and give us 5 stars if you like what we're doing. And if you don't, all feedback, we read it and we try to improve.
Just lie.
For you guys. Yeah, just lie. Say Spin looks good tonight, because we know that's a lie. Everybody, no. Spin, before we get out of here, any final thoughts as we wrap up episode 10?
I think you nailed it all, my man. You got it perfectly.
All right. Get a win on Friday night against the Wizards, and then take care of business against the Nets and the Bucks all in the next 11 days here. Appreciate you guys hanging out with us tonight on the Cleveland Cavaliers on SI YouTube channel, specifically the Courtside with the Cavs on SI Podcast. My partner, Spin Davis. I'm Anthony Maglin. Appreciate it. And thanks, as always, and go Cavs.
My foster parents didn't just teach me to fish. They taught me that persistence and patience pay off. They didn't just teach me to bake the perfect birthday cake. They also taught me to measure and meet my own potential. They didn't just teach me to garden. They taught me to plant seeds and watch them grow. And they didn't just teach me to walk. They taught me to stand on my own 2 feet. Foster a child and change their future. Visit youthvillages.org/foster.
This time of year, a good hoodie is absolutely essential, but it's tough to find one that will last through the season. That's why the American Giant Classic Full Zip Hoodie is made to last a lifetime, so you can count on it to bring you comfort and warmth year after year. Slate Magazine called it the greatest hoodie ever made, and from cotton to zipper, it's made right here in the USA. With timeless style, heavyweight fleece, a double-lined hood, and reinforced elbow patches, you can depend on it for years to come. Snag the hoodie that will bring you comfort for life, the American Giant Classic Full Zip, and save 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com when you use code CLASSIC24 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, code CLASSIC24.